Welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we discuss how to kick ass for life through the pursuit of ultimate wellness, peak performance, and maximum longevity. Kicking ass for life is not just about achieving health or fitness or long lifespans alone. It's about totally kicking ass at everything you do in life. In every episode, join me, author and human performance expert John Zombro, and my amazing co-hosts and guests. We'll dive into the science of exercise physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, physical therapy, lifestyle, and more to meld the concepts of optimal living and advanced training. You'll explore how to look, feel, and perform your best as you live your healthiest, happiest, most successful, and longest life. Let's kick ass for life. Hey folks, thanks for joining us today for episode number 36 of the Lifetime Body Podcast. And today's topic is some great mailbag Q&A from our listeners. Before we get to that, I of course want to welcome my amazing co-host PK and let him know how much I appreciate him as an insightful co-host and a general all-around ass kicker at life.
Jay-Z, thank you. It's a high honor to be labeled as such by you, and I'm excited to dive into it today.
Well, since this is a rock and roll health and fitness edutainment show, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to sing a lyric that fits your mood today. But hey, give a guy a microphone, I'll do it. Oh, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine, yeah. Trying to save my soul tonight. Oh, it's nobody's fault but mine. Okay, so yeah, I could have used Bonzo on the tempo there. It would have helped a little bit, but that was, of course, mighty, mighty Page Plant, Bonham & Jones, and that's Zep getting the lead out on the Presence album, number 7 of 8, back in 1976, and that was their cover of 1927's gospel blues classic by Blind Willie Johnson. It's nobody's fault but mine. And to me, that tune is all about ownership. You know, I own me, you own you, we gots to own ourselves. And that's exactly how I feel about the awesome cats who hit me up with these emails we are sharing today. They want to kick ass at life, and they want to know how to do it better. And switching bands for those about to rock, we salute you.
Jay-Z, I love beautiful, you know, your dulcet tones so early in the morning, just amazing. And really, so what you're saying is it's nobody's fault but mine. We are going to, you know, we're going to celebrate the folks that wrote in. We're going to get answers to their questions. And how do you want to set the table for that? Because we do a mailbag every now and again. And, you know, why did you set us up to have one today?
Yeah. So, you know, nobody's fault but mine really means, hey, I'm not giving somebody else responsibility or blame for my health or my performance. I'm going to do what I can do and share with others and help them. But that's the kind of direction we're going in. So we really appreciate our listenership and the questions that lately we've been receiving and also the ratings and comments. Well, here's a brief perspective on my position from which we always want to try to address listener input or even just to communicate in general. We want to use sound general principles, but also to recognize that many times with some of these, you know, listener questions, there's no one true answer. It depends is actually a valid answer. And that is because so many of these health related topics are individual and context dependent, meaning one person is different from another, and it's also dependent upon the circumstance or situation that each individual is in, and that does change over time. So we always got to understand some of those things. I also think it's very important to stay true to science and pull from the research, but to recognize that right now in human performance, you know, literature and research is dynamic and rapidly evolving. It's always refining. And even sometimes reversing, kind of like the example, you know, 30 years ago, we were all taught, you know, cholesterol, it's the devil. Now it's a valuable nutrient. So, you know, again, we want to be aware of how, you know, science progresses. I also think we want to use our common sense. That's it within us, and it's wisdom. It's based on our experience, and be open-minded. Question, have a little skepticism, but do that with respect and objectivity. And the final thing, and I'll wrap this up, is, hey, let's not be too serious. Don't take yourself too seriously. Have a laugh here and there. Listen to me singing some Led Zeppelin.
Well, that, got a chuckle out of me. And John, let's dive right into our first question. And it comes from Lisa in Eugene, Oregon. And this is what she writes. I like the way you are non-judgmental about meat consumption and an advocate for healthy diet, which can and probably should include healthy meat. I'm relieved to hear this stance because I've always been a meat lover and just feel and perform better when I regularly include meat in my diet. I get a lot of flack about that from many of my friends because I live in what might be termed a vegan hippie community. How can a health conscious person like myself navigate the butcher shop and know how to select, prepare, and consume meat? Specifically, I want to know the practical differences between grass-fed, grass-finished meats and regular supermarket or industrial meat, wild game, and processed meats.
This is a great question, and there's a lot to unpack there, but I think we can do it somewhat sequentially. Thanks, Lisa. That's, you really teed this one up for us. So first of all, my position, and I think, it's a shared one amongst our listenership and also a lot of people in this greater community of wellness and performance. I'm an advocate for health first. I want to be healthy. I want to see other people be healthy. That's important. I think a diet second should be healthy. So healthy person, healthy diet. And then the third thing, if a person chooses to be a meat eater, and I'm an advocate for that, but I do respect those who do not. We want to make sure that it's healthy meat. And so that's kind of the sequelae that I think, Lisa put forth. Starting with, let's just, make sure I'm on track with her question. She was talking about grass-fed and grass-finished meats. Sometimes I say GF2 because it's easier that way. But really the trick is whenever possible, and I know I want to be respectful of everyone's situation and budget, buy in bulk. And this is the old way that meat used to be purchased. Everyone had a freezer of some sort, a chest freezer or an upright freezer, and it was somewhere in the back porch, basement, you name it. And, a lot of people would get a half a cow, half a beef, that's half a steer. Or maybe they didn't have quite enough room for that, so they got a quarter and split the half with another family. And that was how it all worked. And so I started looking just the other day at one of our big box stores, and I found several freezers that were in the $300 to $400 range. And of course, they have the Energy Star rating on them, and it says, average of 17 cents a day to run these things. And then I looked at price per pound of grass-fed beef, other meats available as well. An average right now in the market when you buy in that way, it's around $7. So just doing a little bit of math, I compared that to the cost of like an average cost of meats when you go to the store. Maybe there's a couple higher end cuts like porterhouse steaks or ribeyes, and then there's some burger or chuck roast. It turns out that if a person can afford the upfront cost, and I'm respectful of that, it's half the money to buy, a quarter or a half of beef in that way and freeze it and use it over the year than it is to shop piece by piece in the store.
Got it. Okay. So that's kind of just if you're looking for the economically get into the grass-fed, grass-finished. She's saying, so we put that in our back pocket, but she says, I'm just going to go to the butcher shop. What do you recommend selecting, where to start, what sort of a cut, and then maybe about just a high level, how to prepare that if perhaps, and it sounds to me like this might just be out of Lisa's comfort zone.
Yeah. And again, there's a lot of variance when you start looking at taste preferences and cooking methods, but I would say this when you know that you're getting a very high quality GF2 product, you can sort of be relieved that, you can eat it all. And what I mean by that is you can eat the meat and you can eat the fat because, those are very healthy animals and their fats probably don't contain the undesirables that we'll get into in a moment. So, you know, usually I would recommend splurging where you can on the fatty cuts like the ribeyes or the porterhouse. And, you know, maybe that's not an everyday occurrence, but it's indeed a celebration. So that's how to, you know, acquire it. And also, you know, the fact that these things are so, you know, nutritiously dense, you can eat all the parts of it. I prefer, you know, with meats like that to go one of two ways, and that's either fairly fast and rare with a steak, or if it's a tougher cut, you know, like a shoulder roast or something, that might be the low and slow, and that's, you know, could be the smoker or the crock pot or whatever. But again, everybody has their preferences.
Absolutely. And before we kind of get into breaking down feedlot versus game and processed, again, this is just man on the street perspective, but if you have, you know, your high quality butcher shop, I feel like those folks can be a great resource, you know, when you go in and say, and actually engage them in a conversation about what you're looking for. And, I've always felt like real passionate butchers are passionate about what they do, so they can be just live and in person. And I think that asking questions and just kind of breaking that barrier can be helpful.
Oh yeah. Gain from their expertise. And it's all about relationships. You know, whether you have someone that cuts your hair, your accountant, mechanic, it's the same thing. And so, yeah, let's take advantage of butchers wherever possible. And they can kind of let us know, hey, you know, we've got this, or this is coming in, or, you know, you might want to try doing this with this type of preparation with this food, you know, outstanding. So then we go to like feedlot meats, or in other words, industrial farming, you know, factory farming kinds of things. And so this gets into a very sensitive topic, because, you know, there are certainly ethical positions to be respected there, and environmental ones, and the list can get long. But I would say this, first of all, if the meat doesn't say that it is grass-fed, grass-finished, organic, and hormone antibiotic free, assume that it's not. And so, you know, most of the generic meat that's in the grocery store is indeed this feedlot meat. And that doesn't necessarily make it bad. You know, I hear people call that junk food. I don't think that's true at all. It's just that, you know, again, not everyone's going to decide that they want to eat that meat and support that industry. And others are going to say, well, I want to eat meat, and that's what fits my budget, and so therefore I am. And so, again, no judgment here on my part. But really the trick when buying any of those meats in the grocery store, buy the lean cuts and trim all the fat before cooking, and also, you know, when you're eating it. And the reason is fat is where most of the undesirables concentrate. So, you know, if you're dealing with, you know, potential herbicides, pesticides, hormones, antibiotics, all those things, to a large degree, those are concentrated in the fatty tissues. And so by simply avoiding the, you know, fatty cuts and trimming fat, you know, you can actually minimize your exposure to the potential toxins.
Interesting. Well, that's super interesting, John. How about game? She asked about game, and where does that fit into this picture?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Yeah, I love game. I'm a lifetime hunter, and, you know, very into the field to table journey. I've talked about that a bit here on the show. I think really the biggest key with most game is that you do have to cook it rare, you know, medium rare at best, at most. And then it's a delicate, delicious product. Take most game and overcook it and kill it, as some people like to say, make sure that it's dead. That's a terrible joke I hear sometimes. You end up with what I call liver flavored leather.
That does not sound good.
No, it's not. I mean, the reason is that those meats are so lean, and they don't have really any marbling, just based on the biology of the animals, that you know, overcooking causes some denaturing of the proteins, and, you know, your flavor profile just changes dramatically. So if you're going to enjoy game, enjoy it as it was made to be consumed, you know, fairly rare. Also, the other thing, you know, a lot of people are, you know, messing around with their macros and their diets, and they want to, you know, have a certain amount of protein, but a lot of people are saying, well, I'd like to have a bit more fat in my diet. And if that's the case and you're eating game, you may want to add fat afterwards. And sometimes using a compound butter, you know, like a butter that's a garlic parsley butter, for example, or olive oil, sour cream, cheese, gravy, you know, whatever. That can you certainly add to the flavor profiles, but also you can up the fat to maybe match it up to where you'd get if you had the grass-fed ribeye.
Yeah, I can taste that right now. A little compound butter while the while it finishes. Sounds tasty. Let's go on the other side of the spectrum, and let's talk a little bit about the processed meats and just kind of your feeling and maybe what to watch out for.
Sure. And this is another one of those examples of a reversal of position. You know, or at least one for me, I think for a lot of maybe thought leaders is, you know, we were inundated with information that said the sodium nitrite or sodium nitrate, there's a couple different variations of these curing salts that are used in processed meats are bad for us. And when you look at FDA regulations, there are actually just a few parts per million allowed to be in processed meats. So they're not super high in these sodium or nitrogen-based compounds anyway. And vegetables, most of the vegetables that we consume, have 10 times more nitrite and nitrate in them than do these processed meats. So that's kind of an interesting thought. You know, I think we were all sort of led to believe that these things are just totally nitrite bombs, and that's not entirely true. Well, here's the thing. Our body uses various nitrogen compounds for all sorts of issues, and these nitrites and nitrates are used in our saliva. So we actually recycle them from, various foodstuffs and use that to make saliva. We also make nitric oxide in the body. And the nitric oxide is a vasodilator. You know, it lowers our blood pressure. So when we exercise, you know, that's released and it, helps the body to get the circulation moving around and returning. You're probably familiar with cardiac patients for, decades using nitroglycerin pills, nitro, shall I say. And so, a lot of this came out. This is a great example of just bad science. And there was a study done in 1979 at MIT, and it was published, but it wasn't peer reviewed. And it was a position paper. It was an opinion paper based on sketchy data where they suggested that, these processed meats and their nitrate compounds are carcinogenic and therefore we need to avoid them. Well, interestingly enough, that has actually been examined and disproven over 50 times since 1979 in better studies and randomized controlled trials. So, we need to know our science and know how to use it, but it just gets down to quality and frequency. There's really nothing wrong with processed meats from the curing perspective. Where the issue comes in is, well, what's the quality of the meat that's going in there in the first place? And so if a person says, I'm going to, somewhat occasionally or infrequently enjoy them, hey, have your salami.
Absolutely. And I think that maybe just big picture to Lisa, I think that it's a bit of a bum deal that you're getting flack about, some really good fuel that you figured out works well for you. So I think that, know that we support you and that's actually one of the best things that you could learn that any of us could learn about ourselves is what's a good way to fuel.
Exactly. And we just want to remove bias and try to stay open-minded and respectful as we indicated before. Hey folks, thanks so much for listening today. This show and every episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Lifetime Body. At TLB, we offer a life-changing collection of services that include one-on-one health consultations, performance coaching and training packages, and inspiring workshops revolving around the five life-optimizing components of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness. Whether you're looking to tune up your health or body composition, train more effectively and get results in athletics, or bring wellness and productivity-enhancing workshops to your group or business, we've got you covered. Check out thelifetimebody.com, click on the services menu item, and start kicking ass for life today. Now back to the show.
All righty, John, let's move on to the second question. And this is from the artist formerly known as Pickles, location undisclosed. this is awesome. Okay. He writes, or they write, okay, I'm 69 years young, a busy husband, so it is a he, and grandfather. I'm an avid golfer. My issue is with stiffness. In the last few years, I've gotten so damn stiff, I can hardly get around. My golf game is suffering, but now most of my life just doesn't feel good. It seems like my brain is outliving my body. Do you have any specific routines or general suggestions to restore my lifetime body?
Oh, that's a greatly worded question. Nice and catchy. Also, love the name, John Boy or Coach Jay-Z. Probably needs to be upgraded because the artist formerly known as Pickles, let's see, T-A-F-K-A, I'm going to call him TAFCAP because it's easier. yeah, go shout out to TAFCAP. Okay, so this gets right into Animal Fit, you know, which is our, you know, kind of platform. Thing on our platform, which is a body type specific training program, teaches people how to recognize their traits and gifts. Well, as a maturing male, just a male in general of the species, artist formerly known as Pickles, you're probably going to see mobility challenges. And there are scientific reasons for this. There's a molecule in connective tissue, which is called a proteoglycan. A proteoglycan, make sure I say that clearly. No quiz today, though. It's what's known as a water-imbibing molecule, and essentially it has all these hydroxy endings on it, and it ends up attracting hydrogen ions, and when that happens, you go from OH to H2O, and thus, you know, you have these aquified tissues, and that actually helps to maintain viscoelastic properties in our body. Well, males tend to, and this is fairly well documented, tend to have a decreased concentration as well as a decreased efficiency of proteoglycans as they move through the decades. So, you know, there is that. But also when you look at the Animal Fit model, I didn't gather this from the question, but it's possible that, let's just say Pickles, is a panther or has quite a bit of panther in his makeup. And so that's, you know, the mesomorph in somatotype theory. And the panther tends to be rich with type 2 or fast twitch muscle fibers. And the, you know, there's 2A and 2B. Some people say there's a 2X, but, you know, whatever, let's just say type 2. Those muscles, they have some unique properties which make them, you know, fast and powerful, but they also tend to stiffen and get stiffer. And so, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but an old panther, in fact, if you ever watch National Geographic, you see the old lions and old tigers, you know, they get up and they kind of move like it sounds like TAFCAP is experiencing as well. So there are some scientific drives for this, but there's things we can do about it. Now, before we get into the specifics, let's look at the generals. I would ask this question. How much do you sit? Do less. Just put it out there. You know, you get into the ergonomic swing of lots of movement breaks and nourishing, tissue refreshing activity. And this is the opposite of how we're programmed. You know, we think in society that, oh, you know, you have to sit down and take breaks from all the movement. Well, actually, what the body wants is more movement to keep the circulation going and keep stimulating the tissues to be supple. So don't let stasis happen for too long.
So Jay-Z, before you go on, so what do you consider a nourishing tissue refreshing activity?
Gosh, this is so cool because, you know, it could be 2 minutes. You know, you know, change positions. I mean, I think generally standing more than sitting when that's available through the day as a workstation, that's better. But 2 minutes, simply, you know, walk around for one of those minutes to get a little bit of circulation moving and then do some very generic movements or exercises. That's good. It's really no more complicated than that.
Okay. Let's move on. What's the second thing that we can offer Pickles?
Well, anytime anybody says, you know, they've got stiffness or aches and pains, I'm immediately going to double check this one, nutrition. Make sure all those processed carbs and seed oils, and, you know, seed oils are the ones that are called vegetable oils. There's six of them that we've named before. They've got to be out of the diet. They promote inflammation just rampant through the body. They cause cell degradation because the cell membranes that we build are built from, you know, the oils we consume. And so if you're eating crappy oils, you're building crappy cells, no lie. And all this can accelerate connective tissue damage and ultimately stiffening.
You know, this is super interesting. Actually, Pickles, if you're listening, I'd love a follow-up to get a little feedback on this, just because, you know, I've experienced personally this, but the nutrition, how big of a really role this plays in the, you know, the cellular makeup in the body, but how it really does sort of manifest in movement and flexibility in a very tangible way.
Absolutely. I think that's a nice cue up on your part, because we've been collecting now a number of folks who've shared with us, and I think it might be a great show to do kind of a composite follow-up down the road where, you know, we remind everybody, oh, this is what this person had, you know, written in about, and we talked about this, and then we'll see what their results were. That might be great.
I like that. What else could we tell?
Okay, so we're really hitting on some of these major lifetime body components. You know, that's why they're there. I say sleep, and I say get ye some more. So what I mean by that is, you know, when we're building those connective tissues and those cell membranes, you know, that's a lot of that's happening during sleep. That's when our cellular repair is most pronounced. And so if a person is sleeping poorly, and I think we've all felt this, you know, if you have even one terrible night's sleep, you get up, you do feel stiff, you do feel crappy, you know, enraged in a lot of ways. So, you know, your body is enraged because it didn't get the sleep, and, you know, it's actually sending out strong signals to you that that was not a good decision. So, you know, sleep more. So if you check off all those things, the artist formerly known as Pickles, and, you know, you're moving enough through the day and your nutrition is good and you're sleeping and it's still not enough, now we can get into, okay, you know, give me the magic bullet, or the, you know, Is it the exercise program? Say, well, I'd say it's going to help. It's not as all these things have to work together, but that's MOSTA, MOSTA, mobility, stability training. So that's one of our categories of training. And of course, in the artist formerly known as Pickles, that's more of a mobility than a stability, but, you know, those things do fit together. So we want to say, hey, look, wherever you get it, how you do it, you want to have a movement program, a brief exercise session where it's biasing you towards increasing whole body general mobility, as well as joint and muscle specific range of motion. So this could be from, you know, most of us have experience, you know, with a calisthenic and stretching program, or it's a yoga practice, or whatever it is. And there's so many resources. I don't even think it matters too much, although you might want to make some of your stuff golf specific and look at trunk and shoulder rotation to some degree. So here's the kicker, though. It's actually less what you do, but how frequently you do it. So frequency is the king. It's the name of the game. And what you want to do is remind your tissues of their assignment, of your expectation for them, of their genetically designed properties. And that's how, you know, there's the biology behind this. That's how the collagen tissues and other connective tissues work, is they respond well to frequency. So when we're trying to get our body, if it's stiff, to get looser again, you know, you might only need to do 2 or 3 minutes, maybe a few minutes more in TAFCAP's example. But you're going to need to do this 5 or 10 times a day to change. And then once you've got it where you want it, you can cut back to 2 or 3 times a day to maintain it. And that sounds like a lot, but really, you know, if it's just a couple minutes here and there and you fit those things into your day, it's really not a big deal. And you'll feel so great, you know, that you'll become a believer. And all this is based on just the physiologic properties of how our bodies work. So that's really, I think, the nugget there for TAFCAP.
Absolutely. And I think, John, it's the most of the five to 10 times a day when you're sort of, you know, venturing out, it dovetails really nicely with, you know, not the ergonomics, where to give you a break from sitting, if that is a part. And I'd also say this, or actually let me pose this as a question. At 69, someone who's clearly been active, there is ample opportunity to turn this around, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Yeah, the body's entirely responsive, and it should only take a couple of weeks actually to start seeing significant change.
I love it. All right. So now we are going to go to our third question, and this comes from Terry in Bozeman, Montana. Hey. And hey, shout out to Bozeman. Terry writes, I'm confused about all the press on exercise. Every week an article comes out saying something different. 1 week, it's all about high intensity interval training. The next, it's about LISS. What's LISS stand for again, John?
Low intensity steady state.
Low intensity, steady state. That's right. Thank you for that. John, you recently stated that given what you now know, you'd take resistance over everything else if you could choose only one. What gives?
Well, first of all, I'd say to Terry, hey, thank you for prefacing the question that way, because you didn't really quote me out of context and make me look like a buffoon. So I appreciate that. And to try to explain this, you know, this was recent, and I believe it was last week on the show. We were talking about this very thing, and it was kind of, well, would you pick aerobic exercise or cardio over strength? And I said, you know, 10 out of 10, I'm taking strength. And I didn't explain it too much. And so now's the chance to do that. So first of all exercise is valuable. And we all of us should be doing all types. Now, the ratio might vary from one person to another. But, that you know, that needs to be put out there. And in fact, that concept is broken down, I think, quite nicely in a number of articles on Lifetime Body. You know, you can just search, type in the search bar, training and various things. And the same is true on the Lifetime Body YouTube channel, looking at what are the types of exercise, you know, what do they do for us? What's the minimum effective dosage for health or longevity? How do we design a workout? You know, where do we start to shift things when we want higher performance? That's all there. So feel free to check out as a better resource, the articles on the website and also the Lifetime Body YouTube channel. Going along though, if I just break down aerobic exercise versus strength for a moment, I would say when we're looking at aerobic exercise in this context, we're talking about the LISS or low intensity steady state. So that's, you know, going out for a power walk for some of us, a jog for others, a bike ride, you know, that LISS gets long. Well, there are a lot of benefits, and some of them are that we actually increase our circulation. We actually grow blood vessels. It's known as vascular neogenesis. And that's wonderful because that's known as collateral circulation, and it helps to supply our tissues more effectively. And that's incredibly valuable when you're looking at the heart and the brain, for example. There's also a very unique brain impact from exercise, which seems to be most pronounced from aerobic exercise, and that's known as hippocampal neurogenesis via BDNF. So the hippocampus is a portion of our brain that controls memory and spatial awareness. So it's very important looking at things like Alzheimer's and dementia. And BDNF is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So it's basically a growth factor for the brain that exercise produces. Wonderful. There's also our 10th cranial nerve, which is our vagal nerve or vagus nerve. That tends to be stimulated with most of this type of exercise, and we get a parasympathetic nervous system influence. What that means is it's protective of the cardiovascular system because we become more efficient at managing stress and inflammation. So you know, powerful things that we get from aerobic exercise, and I think everyone should be doing it. Then if we look at strength or resistance training, that's improving our muscle mass, our posture, ability to stand up against gravity, bone density, the durability, the functionality that we have. Well, basically, you know, we need those muscles to move. If we didn't have the muscles, we'd be, you know, sitting too much. And also, muscles raise our metabolic efficiency. They do a lot of things, even at rest, that are not just burning calories, but all sorts of cell signaling benefits. So those are, you know, that some benefits of each of the two. Now, why I chose strength and will choose strength, 10 out of 10 to the end, it's not that one benefit is better than the other. It's just that strength training has more crossover effect. So depending on how you do it, you can get a partial cardio effect, some mobility stability work, and even some high intensity interval exposure from doing strength training. So you can make the weight room do almost everything, whereas jogging or cycling really only does one thing and takes away from the others. So yeah, I mean, everyone would agree that aerobic exercise is valuable, and the best way to get an aerobic training benefit is, say, jogging or cycling. But it makes you stiffer. It actually causes atrophy of your type 2 fibers because it's biasing the type 1 slow twitch fiber. So it actually causes muscle wasting in extreme examples. So that's my position. It's, you know, again, based in science. So nothing's evil. We just need to craft our programs effectively.
Yeah, Jenna, wouldn't you say that if these articles, if it is advocating, you know, if you only, I mean, this is a hypothetical situation. If you only had to pick one, truth is you don't have to pick one. And really any, and your stance isn't just pick strength training. It's, if you force me into this theoretical discussion, this is why. But truthfully, any stance or workout methodology or article that's really advocating there's only one way to do something, and you know, plants a flag that in that black and white of a fashion is really, you know, you got to consider the source in that case.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point of clarification. Thank you. So, you know, just to make sure, that's my position. I think we need all forms of exercise. It's actually easy to blend that in. But you know, that kind of hypothetical, you know, that was where I was answering from. And so, you know, that's even in some of the resources that I mentioned earlier, you know, how can you do a 45 minute workout in the gym that has some aerobic exercise, has some mobility work, has, some resistance training? Most of us end up doing that anyway. You know, you walk into the gym, you go through kind of a warm-up procedure. Maybe you work out on some weights or machines. Maybe you hit a bike or elliptical. So you're doing all those things together. Really where the problem comes in, as you indicated, is that if a person says, well, I'm only going to go out the door and just pound down the road and never do anything else, I think that's a compromise.
Absolutely. Well, I think as we take this home, you are going to share with us a review of the week.
Yeah, and wow, what a great week of show. You get so energized and enthused when people, listeners, give us these things. So this one is the review of the week. It also came to us via email, and it's from Jim in South Dakota. And Jim has this to say about the show. I started listening to your show last fall. I found it on the Lifetime Body website, which I discovered through Amazon when I ordered and read Project Jacked, which I loved. The message in the book and in the podcast in the book and in the podcast are certainly research-based, but I like the way they are delivered best. They are fun and sometimes funny. And I think you're onto something with the combination of laughter and health. They go together great and always have. Thanks for the weekly pick-me-ups that keep me going in the right direction with my workouts and my meals, and also that keep me smiling.
Wow. Jim, John, I mean, that is a heck of a kudos to you and you as a writer and to the, you know, this little conversation that we have once a week here.
I mean, it's to all of us. And, you know, thanks, Jim. And so, you know, Jim also, he asked a question, which is one of the reasons why his question came in on email and not Twitter, because it was two pages. it was actually a grouping of five questions. Outstanding. And so a future show, you know, Jim, if you're listening, will soon come up that's going to be solely dedicated to, you know, the things that you had asked so that we can do them full justice. So thanks, Jim. And we will be doing that.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. And you know, as we wrap up today, I just want to talk to everyone out there. We, you know, here we are at the Lifetime Body Podcast. We're trying to climb the ladder of this podcast world one rung at a time. And currently there's, you know, I think over 550,000 podcasts out there. And in the health and fitness category is one of, if not the largest one. So we'd like to ask you all a favor. If you want to help us get the message of Kicking Ass for Life out there to more people, if you're so inclined, we'd love a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That's where most of our audience checks in and hears from us. And it really does help. It helps us move up, reach a broader audience. And if you are liking what you hear, we'd love you to dip on over and do that. We thank you in advance, and we really do appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you next time. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we kick ass for life through the attainment of ultimate wellness and the pursuit of peak performance and maximum longevity. If you are enjoying this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Also, check out thelifetimebody.com, where you can access a variety of publications and media that can help you achieve the highest levels of health, fitness, success, and happiness. And be sure to subscribe to the weekly Kick Ass for Life update, which keeps you real time on the latest releases from TLB. Until next time, this is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we help you kick ass for life.